Blog Talk Radio.
It's what you want, but it's what you need.
That's been pent up inside for years. Exclusive type, only for your eyes and ears. You held it in for so long, you burst it into tears. The letters spill slowly across the page like a world premiere. Where lies, the bullshit begins here. The obvious cause, the effects is unclear. The punishment for crimes of the heart could be severe. Though to keep it on the low is a heavy cross to bear. You deep now, submerged with no signs of air. Still your sunken heart thumping like the kick in a snare. While on the surface, it's all turning to a circus. That's why you're nervous and you got a right to be. Cause if somebody would have done that to me, I mean my best man hitting my wife to be. My sentiments exactly would be history. You know what I'm saying? Eh. My people's in a place left out of
no
one.
One, two,
nothing changed, it's all the same thing. The same characters in the book with different names. It's a lot more to lose than you got to gain. You a lot more confused than hip to the game. To beat the script to the game, the price is pain. Men and women get into things, now who's to blame? When everybody whispering about whatever took place and how the fact was denied with a straight face. Them lies hard to swallow from the bitter taste, but that's a point in the past that can't be erased. So motivate, though it's hard to let it ride or set aside true feelings. Underhand dealing, a lost trust. I wonder if we lost us. It's bigger than me and you, it's monstrous. So I'ma just calm down and try to relax before I clap the hammer, then the hammer I tap. Count
two,
it's
tell
what
me what
y'all
to do. 3, 4,
it's time
for all your suggestions. Rock and roll,
sing your
folding rock. Then your rock, the president just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, no time to hesitate. So let's rock and roll, sing your folding.
Back and undo our actions, change what happens, dissect the fractions, a time to rewind and be recorded absent, for real, cause these memories is photographic, pornographic, pushing me close to madness, head heavy like I'm tripping on the tablet, yesterday as I recall was all fabulous, I thought so, but now I feel like shopping.
Good Wednesday evening, listeners, and welcome, Happy New Year, and welcome to the first edition of Conversations of a Sista here on Blog Talk Radio in 2017. We're back after a four-week hiatus, and my prayer is that you all have wonderful holidays and a great holiday season. I'm your host, Miss Tracy L. Bell, of course, and I'm so glad you're tuned in with me tonight, be it online or by phone, for our first topic in conversation of the year. And yes, this is a very sensitive topic, as it is also controversial. And the topic tonight is hate, homophobia, or the word of God. Hate, homophobia, or the word of God. Our topic tonight comes off the heels of pastor and entertainer Kim Burrell's New Year's Day sermon that went viral online, and I'm sure you've all seen it. I know you have, because I've blogged about it, we've talked about it, and you've commented about it. But it's a New Year's Day sermon that went viral online of her preaching how more gays will die in 2017. And she did this as she denounced homosexuality as a perverted spirit, a spirit of perversion. Now, the backlash of her sermon was so massive that she was faced with harsh criticism. She lost her local radio station and was uninvited to perform her single with Pharrell for the Hidden Figures soundtrack on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. Now, in the meantime, entertainer Pharrell issued a statement saying, "I condemn hate speeches of any kind. There's no room in the world for any kind of prejudice. And my greatest hope is for inclusion and love for all humanity in 2017 and beyond." This is why I was like, okay. So social media, blogs, and other internet outlets, they dubbed Burrell's sermon as a sermon of a homophobic rant and a hate speech against gays. So she's said to have gone on a homophobic rant, and it was a hate speech against gays. And she spoke this from a church, from a pulpit, and they said it was a hate speech against gays. So here with me in the studio tonight, because we are going to discuss this, because I felt like this topic needed a discussion. So here with me in the studio tonight are two dynamic ministers. I think my third minister cannot get online because our studio online is just so crowded tonight for this conversation. And we appreciate you all being online and listening. But if my third guest cannot get in, we'll have to bring her in at another time. But in the meantime, here with me in the studio, I have two special guests. My first guest holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in communication with a minor in TV and radio broadcasting from Fairleigh Dickinson University. She holds a Master of Arts degree in corporate and public communication with a minor in nonprofit management from my alma mater, Seton Hall University. And she holds a Master of Divinity degree from New Brunswick Theological Seminary, where she's also successfully served as Student Society of Inquiry Chaplain, President of the Association of Black Seminars, and President and Founder of Good Morning Ministries, a bereavement and loss grief center. So I'm going to have with me Reverend Kathy Risher. And my second minister in the studio, he's last mentioned, but he's certainly not least, is the pastor at my church, Metro Community Church, in Englewood, New Jersey, Pastor Josh Olivero. So Pastor Olivero and Minister Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Tracy, for having me. It's an honor.
Great. I'm so glad you both are here tonight. Now, I don't know if you're aware of Pastor Burrell's sermon, because her video did go viral online. And everyone is dubbing her speech as a hate speech, and discussions regarding religion are personal, however. My question to you both is, was Burrell's prediction, she said everybody in this room who's filled with the homosexual spirit begged God to free you, she said on video. You play with it, what does that mean? You'll die from it. You play with it in God's house in 2017, you'll die from it. So discussions regarding religion are personal, as I said. However, was Ms. Burrell's prediction hateful? Kathy, we'll start with you.
Well, again, Tracy, thank you for the invitation. First and foremost, I wanted to start with, we don't have the full sermon. We got a snippet of the sermon. We don't know what was said before and or what was said after. We heard 2 minutes of a sermon, and your topic tonight is hate, homophobia, or the Word of God. Kim Burrell was in her church. She's a pastor,
right,
as well as a gospel singer, entertainer, whatever you want to call her, but she was in her church. I'm not sure when we have labeled gospel preaching as hate speech and as a rant when one is speaking and or preaching the Word of God. I listened to the clip of the video a few times to hear what she was saying as she was moving in a flow. Yes, she did say, if you play with this in God's house for 2017, you will die from
yeah.
it. And I heard all of that, and I said, wow, they're referring to her preaching the gospel, because, you know, Kim Burrell, she grew up with, she's a PK. She grew up, her father was a pastor, her mom was an
yes.
evangelist. So she grew up with a strict Kojic background. If you understand who she is, I'm not defending her, because I believe Kim Burrell can defend Kim Burrell. But in terms
yes.
of preaching, and answering your topic question tonight, hate, homophobia, or Word of God, I would have to say it was the Word of God that she was preaching in the house of the Lord. unbeknownst to her, a small fraction of her sermon was released. Now, when I'm in seminary, we're told to take not to take things out of its context and to look at the scripture before and the scriptures after, you know, in order to properly exegete what was being said. And here we are with a piece of a message, and she's being condemned by that one piece of a message. And I didn't think it was fair. I was waiting to see what other gospel preachers would back her and support her.
Exactly.
But we're
exactly.
living in a day and age where nobody wants to lose members or money
yes.
or recognition.
Yes.
With the
yes.
world, so it was hard to even see who would support her, because if you look at most Kojic word of faith, tenet of faith, their statements of faith, you may even
right.
see what they believe online before one person will join. You will know what this particular church believes. So I would have
right.
to say it was the word of God, and she was preaching. It wasn't hate speech, nor was it a rant.
Right. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And Minister Joss, what do you say? Do you actually think that it was a homophobic film rant?
I think, first of all, thanks for having me, and I just want to reiterate what Kathy was saying. It's just an honor to be here, and I'm guessing by the sound of the introduction, I'm the least qualified person on this conversation, so I appreciate the invite. And let me just preface again by reiterating some of what Kathy said. I unfortunately have never heard of Kim Burrell prior to this, so I don't know enough about her to have a negative view about her as a person. I just don't have enough information to cast a negative view on her, or even my perspective on her. I just don't have enough info. And even more importantly than that, it's very unfair, like Minister Kathy said, to judge somebody off a 2-minute soundbite. That message
right,
was
right.
absolutely a part of a much longer sermon. I mean, and Kim Burrell is Black, and Black and Spanish people, we're long-winded, okay? So I'm sure she went for about an hour. So, you know, a 2-minute soundbite is not fair. However, if I can just push back a little bit here, I listened to the soundbite a few times, and there were a few things that she said that we have to understand the perspective of the critics in this
right.
situation. We can't assume that they understand the gospel or the word of God in full. Okay. And so it comes off as very, a stereotypical church message when,
yes.
as it's, you know, taking on the topic of homosexuality. And so there
yes.
were some things that she was saying that I can, with my filter on, right, understanding correctly the word of God, I can understand some of the points she was trying to make. However, there were some things that she said that, it just in my humble opinion, were just a bit reckless and irresponsible. I mean, so as a pastor and a communicator of God's word, you have to be aware and mindful that there are people on the other side of your words, right? People who disagree
yes.
with you, who are not believers,
yes.
and then people who genuinely struggle with their sexuality. And honestly,
yes.
when she says things
yes.
like,
yes.
when she says things like, if you're a man with another man in your mouth, you are a pervert. I can't imagine that God would be pleased when
yes.
his truth being used in such a reckless way. Like, I don't know if someone who is struggling with their sexuality or just honestly, they're sitting in their pews and they're not really struggling with homosexuality. They are homosexual. They're enjoying this lifestyle of theirs and they're just playing church. I don't know how that statement and statements like those that she made would be edifying in any way.
It's something, because you hit that dead on the head, because those were a lot of the comments and emails that I received, how there are some young men that are living a homosexual lifestyle, and they are dealing with it. They are struggling with it. And the biggest thing that they're struggling with, and I was told to ask this question, is homosexuality a spirit of perversion? Because the way she did come across by being so graphic with it, they felt like she made the act sound disgusting between two men who may be in love or two women who might be in love. And although this is a day and age now where this is very popular, people are wondering how the church is actually responding, going to respond, or just not responding. So my question is homosexuality a spirit of perversion? Minister Josh, before Kathy.
Yeah. So here's what I would say. Again, from what I understand, Kim Burrell grew up in the church, and so I'll give her this. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt and say she meant perversion in its original intended form, right? Perversion is, an alteration of something from its original course. So in that sense, according to that standard definition, homosexuality is a perversion. But again, the world doesn't understand it that way. The world understands it as perversion and as a hateful slur. And so again, it's just a matter of being mindful of the words and just having to define the terms and what have you, so people don't understand it in a different way.
I would agree with that. When you look at perversion, you look at sexual abnormal or unacceptable practices or tendencies. So when you hear her making that reference about men's penises in your mouth or women shaking her face in another woman's breast, etc. I haven't had a conversation with Kim, but I do understand the word of God in Leviticus. People are listening and they want some references. Leviticus 18:22 says that you should not lie with a male as with a woman. It's an abomination. Leviticus 20:13 goes on to say if a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. So when you hear what she's saying and knowing that her context is an African-American context where you may hear words like that coming across the pulpit, at any given time, it may not be right, but it's part of the cultural context where you may hear words that we wouldn't hear in another setting. And yes, they were very graphic. I have to agree. They were very graphic. But if she was trying to drive home her point, she did that. She did that, and it wasn't a rant. It was preaching the word of God. And I know a lot of people would disagree with me on that, but when you go back and you look at Kim coming back on Facebook Live and making comments, not once did she apologize. And she said, and I'm not going to, because I believe that I was doing what God has called me to do and what she's passionate about. She talked about loving people. So in terms of perversion, when you look at the definition of having or showing sexual desires that are considered not normal or acceptable, then what she was saying was correct in her eyes.
Mm-hmm. So now when we look at the word homophobia, because that word is used a lot when anything is said about, gay people or people who are LGBT, lesbian, and they say homophobia being hate against homosexuals or lesbians. And homophobia is basically a meaning of fear. So I don't think that to say that it was homophobic would mean that she feared it, that she fears it. I think that homophobic or homophobia is used out of context in this term, and I notice that it's used a lot to the point wherein people are saying that, well, they call the Bible an outdated book of fictitious stories, and that, I'm wondering, is this an argument that can be addressed today? What is your opinion on that?
It can be addressed, it should be addressed, but not once did she make reference that she was homophobic. And when you hear what she said initially, she said, everyone in this room, if this is your issue, if you will, if this is what you're struggling with, she said, beg God to free you. So she wasn't she wasn't speaking to people that she didn't believe that was present even in her church.
Right, okay.
Because, Tracy, at the end of the day, we know we have a plethora of people in our church leading ministries, leading choirs, so there's not a homophobia where the church
right.
is concerned, because we're welcoming to everybody,
right.
and we want everybody
right.
to come. But you got to understand what your church believes, and then you join based upon, you know, you put your cap on that membership based upon what they believe, so that you can be free to be who you are and to quote unquote live in your own truth.
That's true. That's very true. Minister Josh, I'm going to ask you this because, you know, you're at Metro.
Sure.
Do you actually
sure.
believe that sin, like homosexuality, is a sin that's being, I'm going to say, overrated or over-preached in the church over adultery, fornication? Because we've received a lot of emails saying that homosexuality is the main sin that's targeted and other sins are overlooked. Is homosexuality this big sin that needs to be addressed over others? What's your take on that?
I think you're absolutely right, and I think the people emailing are absolutely right. Homosexuality is it has two things going against it in the church. Okay, the first one, it's almost always a sin you can see, and so if there's a young brother who walks in and he's struggling with homosexuality, you can tell in his walk and the way he talks and the way he carries himself. So it's very visible and very different from say you can't tell that a guy beats his wife by the way he walks. Right? You can't tell, especially if he speaks Christianese. You can't pick it up in his lingo that he's cheating on his wife. Okay, and so homosexuality has that against it in the church. The second thing is that the majority of people, contrary to popular beliefs and stats and all these percentages that are out there, the majority of people do not struggle with homosexuality. Right. That's not to say that there aren't homosexuals out there or present in the churches, but the majority do not fall under that category. And so what happens is it makes homosexuality an easy target. Right. And so, for example, if you look at the Kim Burrell clip, when she starts going off, even on some of the more reckless things that we were talking about, the more graphic ones, sorry, that we were talking about, that was red meat for that particular crowd. They ate it up, you know, and you hear all these cheers and hallelujahs over something that we should be mourning and not celebrating. And so even if she would have worded it in a way that for me personally it would have been a little bit better, I still wouldn't have amened and hallelujahed that, right? I would always celebrate God's truth, but those are things that we mourn, right? And so when you get those two things, right, a homosexuality being a sin that you can see, and the majority of that sin is not in the crowd, man, people are just—it's just going to be easier for you to go off. It's easy. It's always easier to lob grenades over the wall, right? When that crowd is not in your face. And I'll give you an example of that. So I think 2 months ago, I preached out of Ephesians 5, verses 1-20, and so there's a list of sins there, and so I'm going sexual immorality, cursing Christians, and I get to greed. Right now, we're a very affluent church, and so you got to believe that that's in there. That's a prominent thing. But I'm addressing sexual immorality all across the board, and I get to greed, and I look at the clock. They have me on a ticker. I'm Spanish. I told you we're long-winded, right? I'm looking at the clicker in the back, and my time's running out, and so I go, you know what? Let me just skip to something else. And immediately I felt the conviction in my heart, but I kept going. After the sermon, a brother whose wife is actually on our leadership team comes up to me. He says, Pastor Josh, for 40 years I've heard this passage being preached, and not one time has a pastor faithfully stood up there and tackled greed. Okay?
Wow.
And so it's one of those things where if the crowd's not in front of you, it's easier to go off. It's a lot easier to go off. If there are more homosexuals in you, if you walk into a church knowing that the majority of these people are struggling with homosexuality, and you are a faithful, God-fearing, Bible-loving Christian, I'm almost positive, I bet the house, that your tone would be much different. that
right.
firmness. You'll still be firm. You will still be firm. Make no mistake, because we obey the word of God. We believe it to be true. But your tone will be different. It'll be communicated in a much more loving way when you know that they're sitting there.
This is true. This is this is very, very true. Do you both think, in my closing, because I am running out of time, do you both think that her message, although we didn't hear it in its entirety, the harshness of it is what got attention. But other than that, the message of homosexuality and everybody being damned to hell for it, do you think that's a message only for the church and not for the world? Minister Kathy, you can start with that one.
Yeah, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Go ahead, Minister Kathy, you start with that one.
Do you think
it's a message just for the church and not for the world? Because if the church is supposed to, and we're supposed to win souls, then how is that message going to be reached in the world, or will it ever? Because right now you have more Christians who understand Burrell's message, whether it's in its entirety or half of it. So, and you have people in the world who don't and were not moved by it. So I'm thinking, okay, so is her message more for the church, or is it more for the world? Or would it have been more acceptable had she presented it differently?
Of course, Trace, I believe it would have been more acceptable if it was presented differently. But it's a message that reached both the church world and the world.
Yeah.
Because if you notice, a lot of people that were commenting on blogs, they were saying, and this is the reason why I don't go to church, because of the hypocrisy
right.
or the hypocrisy.
Yes.
So you heard that yes. immediately. And it's like, come on,
yes.
there's hypocrites at the grocery store. There's hypocrites at your job. And there's hypocrites at the restaurant, you know, at the club. It's hypocrites everywhere. So don't use that as a cop-out of why you're not in the house of the Lord on Sunday or on a weekday for Bible study. We can't use that to justify our not going. But it's a message for all. Could she have said it in a different way and still got her point across, where she wouldn't have lost going on the Ellen show, losing the radio show, losing other endorsements? Yes. But I think even with that, those individuals should have understood that she's a pastor. She's a pastor.
Right.
When you heard Pharrell talk to Ellen about her, not once did he ever refer to Kim as a pastor.
Right.
He never
right.
referred to her as a gospel preacher. And then I had
right.
to look at, okay, Ellen and them, they banned her from the show. But now where's that love on the flip side to say, you know what, we're going to welcome her to show her that we're not like what the people think we are.
Right.
Where's that?
Exactly.
That we banned her too. Yeah, so those are my comments regarding that.
Oh, wow, awesome. And Minister Josh, I need you to close it out.
Okay, I would take a slightly different turn. I would say homosexuality, the topic of homosexuality as a sin, I think is a topic for the church, for believers. So I think the main problem, at least in my interactions with non-believers, non-Christians, is not necessarily their behavior. They just don't believe the gospel. And so I think that's my primary concern with non-believers is getting them to see the beauty of Christ on the cross. If I encounter a homosexual person and we're talking about Christianity and the faith, and homosexuality comes up, instead of talking about homosexuality as a sin, I'd rather steer the conversation towards the beauty of God's design. Like, hey, God designed it to work this way, and because this is God's design, man, there's just a greater joy to be found in those things. But when we're talking to the church, the believers, people who profess faith in Christ and believe the word of God to be the word of God, then you do preach homosexuality absolutely as a sin, because, I mean, that's what the word of God says. But I'm always reminded of a quote by a Christian philosopher, Ravi Zacharias, who said, if the truth is not undergirded by love, it makes the possessor of that truth obnoxious and the truth repulsive. And so it's clear that there is a way that even God's truth, which is beautiful and leads to greater joy, can be used in a way that's harmful. And so you hear things like, you know, speak the truth in love and those kind of things, because
mm-hmm.
there is a way. So, again,
yeah.
it's just a matter of you know, just when you engage that topic, it's always my desire to have the end goal in mind. How can I win my brother or sister to Christ and to the better way?
Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you both so much. Oh, my gosh.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Awesome conversation. And don't be surprised if I ask you back again. Thank you so much for being on the show. God bless you both.
Thanks
awesome conversation.
You.
Oh, to my
Thank
readers
you.
And my
Josh
listeners,
too.
Reverend Minister Kathy Risher and Reverend Josh, Pastor Josh Oliveira, we thank them so much for being on the show. I am out of time. Until next week, be well, good night, and bye-bye.